Hello, and welcome to episode 99 of Geek Girls. The Geek Girls podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at www.patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda, and I'm joined by my co-host September, aka 9 of 12. How you doing?
Doing good, how are you?
Good. Unfortunately, the Jen can't join us this week because work is being a pain in the you-know-where. I can swear, I forget.
We can swear.
It's being a pain in the ass. So, hopefully she'll be back with us next week, and her lovely face and voice will be with us. So, what have you been up to, September?
Okay, so I get to tell a cool story again. I went to Raleigh SuperCon, and it was amazing. Thank you, Vinod. He is one of our super tweeters and a patron, and he was like, hey, you want to go? And I was like, I don't want to spend money. He's like, well, I'll drive, and Friday are available, and they're only $20 tickets. So I had to pull it off, and it was a really neat time. I didn't realize it was how big it was. It was definitely the biggest nerd con I've been to. Great people watching, amazing cosplay, and a lot of celebrities. The first one I've been to that had so many big celebrities. And I'm glad I was happy with mostly just spotting celebrities. Because, wow, they charge for autographs. Like, $35, $50, $80. Yep. Vinod made out, though. He got pictures with Michael Dorn and William Shatner. And, what's his pickle, Chekhov. And signatures on some of those and stuff. But that's not the kind of thing I'm going to spend money on. And the one signature I really did want was that Chris Piccolo was there, who's the artist who first drew Death in the Sandman comics and Death in the miniseries of her. And I already have a signed issue of Death, the High Cost of Living. And I had a Vertigo preview for that had a snippet, a few pages of that in it. And a number one of Death, Time of Your Life. So I took those and I had them in my bag, and then I realized what people were charging for autographs, and I was like, crap. So I looked up at his pricing, and he was doing them for $2 per item and giving it all to charity.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! I'm like, oh, that's so nice. And no one else. I didn't see a single other person that was doing even part of their stuff for charity. And I was like, wow, so I can even like pick nice people that I'm a fan of without knowing. So I went and I waited in line. It was a little hard to find them. Not so great with maps at that con. I sat there with somebody else in a booth that I had met at another con to try and help me find them, and they couldn't. So, but I was like, alright, I'm just going to go where it makes sense, according to art. And I found him, and I waited in a fairly short line, and there were, even the people there were nice. Like, there was a guy ahead of me who had some kind of gameplay, like tabletop cards. I didn't recognize the game that Chris Piccolo had done art for. And he just brought all the shiny, rare, cool ones. And Chris was signing them. And he's like, you know, like, I'm asking for $2 item. The guy's like, yep. Whips out a wad of cash. And I'm just like, wow, this line just got real long. But they were having a nice conversation. And the guy's tossing money in. And eventually Chris goes, stop. That's good. And, the guy had also brought some cards from something, and he was like, listen, I know the artist doesn't often get to see the finished product, and I just brought these to give you. Aww. So like, aw, so then I didn't mind waiting in line so much. Although I had already, see, I'm adding to the story, but that's okay. This, I was like, I phrased this so I don't think it was too bitchy, but I was like, so what is the charity? Is it like, Chris needs a carpal tunnel brace after the con? The guy who was helping him in the booth was just like, yeah, maybe we should do that. So then I stepped up to get my stuff signed, and Vinod has this neat thing he does, and he always has a bunch of $2 bills and we use them for tipping and stuff. So he changed me some money, so I had $2 bills. And So I'm putting $2 bills in. I gave more than I should have, and Chris was very sweet. He's like, do you want change? No. Doing's for charity, and I can count. And I told him about my friend Lindsay Stewart's cosplay. She's been a guest on the show. She does all kinds of amazing cosplay. And I told him about her death cosplay, and he asked me if I had a picture. So I got Facebook, and I showed him the picture, and he was just like, wow, that is really good. So it was really nice to be able to tell her about that. I mean, you don't get higher praise than, like, the artist that first drew the character likes your cosplay, right? Yeah. And then he got out a different marker so it would show up, and he signed it in gold and drawing Ankhs on the cover of my death issue. And so I stepped aside, and I'm blowing on the signature so they dry, which Chris reminded me to do. Because I step aside, I go to put it back. He's like, wait, might be wet. Oh, thank you. Because I'm a derp. And don't do that kind of thing often. So the next guy up, Chris, is like, I like your shirt. And the guy's like, yeah, I really like the shirt too, but it's wearing out. I can't wear it very often anymore. And I said, and I just automatically, because it is something I do and have done, I'm like, you know, when I have a shirt like that, I make a pillow out of it so I don't have to give it up. And they looked at me and they're like, that's so cool. And I'm like, it's like, this is a really great idea. So then I kind of feel bad, like, because then Chris just started engaging and talking to me again, but it was kind of the other guy's turn. But Chris was just all like, do you make stuff? Like, what kind of stuff do you make? I was like, oh, I make pouches and curtains and pillowcases and, you know, whatever. And it's like, could you make pillows for me? Like, what would that cost? I said, well, I mean, look at this guy's shirt. That would be a throw pillow size and the materials. I mean, probably about $25. I should have said, for you, I will make things.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, do you have a place, like a website I can go look and stuff? I said, no, I mean, I'd send you pictures of product samples or something, but I just kind of do it for friends. I'm not selling anything on the internet right now, and I haven't been doing any shows. I mean, I make jewelry, too. Oh, and I told him about my World of Warcraft-inspired bracelet. I am so dorking out.
That's what cons are for.
Yeah, yeah. But he was so sweet, so he I was like, do you want a card? And he's like, yes, you have a card. And he took my card, and he wrote on the back of it, I think it said pillows, so he would know, and he put it in his pocket, and I'm like, cool, so I might be hearing from Chris McCallum making him pillows.
Yay.
Or something. So that was super awesome. And he was just so nice. I mean,
maybe,
I don't know that I could do that. Yeah, believe me. And the card I gave him, I didn't give him my jewelry making one. I gave him the Geek Girls one. So to get to me, he's going to have to go through us.
Cool.
Oh, I'd love to
have
him.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I love conventions.
Yeah, and it was like, just that, totally worth the trip.
Yeah.
In my head, I justified it because I thought Tennant was going to be there, but then he wasn't.
Yeah,
but I'm glad I went anyway.
Yeah. That happens sometimes. You're like, I want, the celebrity is coming, and then they don't show up for whatever reason, you know, because they're filming or they have other obligations, and you're like, boo.
So what have you been up to?
Speaking of conventions, I've been working on my crocheted Dragon Con costume because I am a crazy person. I have the top of the dress is done. It looks not like much right now, but I will be altering it and making it look less like a box. And, you know, oh, that's easier to see this way. You can see that there's the sleeve and there's the... next, after that, is I'm going to try and finish up the boots. I'm also crocheting those. I'm just crocheting almost everything. I might run out of time, and I might not be able to crochet the gloves. I might have to just buy those, but you know what? I'll take it. It'll be fine. let's see. Besides that, I have been organizing my house. Because we just moved in a couple weeks ago, so I've got my office most of the way that I want it. Got my pictures up, got to put up my shelves, get the rest of the boxes that are in here, which are the things that go on the shelves, get those unpacked. I got to get my craft room is coming along. It's all good. If we have a couple more weekends like the one we just had where we can just organize things, then we will get all the boxes unpacked. And I will be so happy. I got new glasses. Got some nice semi-rimless glasses for those of us that are live and can see. You can also see that my eyeliner is on point today. but I'm happy to have these new ones because they're actually my most updated prescription, which is the ones that I have been wearing, which are lovely. Those are about 8 years old, and I just kept putting off getting a new prescription and them because it was so expensive. But I got these from Zenni Optical, so $100, as opposed to 400, which is what the glasses place I went to wanted. So
yeah,
I was like, yep.
I think I have a few friends who use Zenni. I never have. We have really good coverage, though.
Yeah, I can tell you so far, A-okay 100%. I like them a lot.
So how do you get them adjusted to your face?
I used to work at a glasses place, so I do it myself.
Gotcha. Nice.
Yeah, I'm just like, I need to put the nose pads in just a tiny bit and then air the thing and then put it on. There you go. All set.
Sweet.
Yep. I have a very odd set of skills from the jobs that I've held. Let's see. Otherwise, this last week I recorded a song for an upcoming LARP that I'm doing in 2 weeks, which our topic is LARPs, live action role play. It was actually something that one of our listeners requested, so you guys have some say in what our topics are. They have, for this particular LARP, they have in-play radio broadcasts, which they pre-record things and then bring in their iPhones and have it Bluetoothed to a Bluetooth speaker that they have built a weird radio-looking thing around to have it be in play.
Oh, neat.
So my character is a performer, and she apparently is now famous because she is on the radio, so... They were like, can you please record a song? So I went online and found a karaoke version of the song I wanted to record on YouTube, and just went down into my husband's recording studio and was like, plug in the thing so I can record. And he was like, okay, beep, boop, boop, and go.
Yay.
So yay. So that's basically what I have been up to. Other things here and there, little games, but those are the big things. So I think we can now move on to the Geek Grapevine. So what is, I assume the slash film is from you?
It is. I was very happy about this, and I mean, people might argue because they are going to believe what they're going to believe, but I mean, I had read all the stuff that Chris Hardwick's girlfriend had written in her little essay, and it looked very much to me like that relationship was fucking terrible, and things go horribly wrong, and you start to behave badly when, you know, somebody's cheating, and you're checking up on them, and it looks crazy, and... But it, some things she said insinuating him were so out of character and going on about, like, ruining her career. But her career is pretty all right, and it's got a boost from this. And he's going to step back and is like, okay, you look into it. I will, you know, step aside. And they replace him for a little while, but AMC is bringing him back after having a third party involved in an investigation of all of her... accusations. So, you know, they took it seriously and they got him back. I mean, this kind of thing has been very weaponized now, and you know, you don't want to just take someone's side or make any assumptions because you like them, but I think it's fair to, like, alright, step aside, let it, you know, everything be opened up and exposed, and you know, either be redeemed or forgiven, and I'm going to be really glad to see him back and not ruined. Because I like his work and I've been following it for a long time.
Yeah, it's good that they did an impartial step back from that, because it is, it's very, you picked a good word for it, it's very weaponized now.
Yeah, I've been reading and discussing that a lot with people on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. Daniel and I have discussed it. My son Connor, you know, he's a millennial, so he is all on top of, like, this whole, like, the pedo bombing and that kind of stuff that's going on through Reddit, and 4chan is using it. They're, like, trying to point out how the media is weaponizing stuff and trying to make it look ridiculous, but people aren't getting that part. They're just seeing the headline, because that's how people read, and just believing whatever ridiculous thing is thrown out there in some cases. And it goes really far before anybody realizes they were just trying to make a point. Mm-hmm. So that's a little scary social stuff going on. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Because you can't just stop things like the Me Too movement and the Weinstein shit like going on. And you got to treat them on an individual basis, take them seriously, you know, whatever. Yeah, believe the victims, but investigating, I think, is, and what they did with the gun, like, man, that was a long time ago. When does forgiveness start? So.
Yeah, it is really case by case. You can't, there's not a blanket thing that you can do for that, so. Glad that they got that worked out. So.
Yes.
The next one is also you?
Yeah, this came up in my Facebook feed earlier when I was getting ready and changing our Twitch key. So this is really cute, and there's a video in the link. And yeah, I should be putting these links in our chat. But Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, being Deadpool, there was a Comic-Con panel, and he was coming back and being funny and being very Deadpool and picking back on fans and stuff. But really neat thing, too, was that they ended up talking about diversity. He's really proud of the diversity in Deadpool. Apparently, in the comics, Deadpool was Pan, and that got discussed. And then there was someone else on the panel who, her character, she plays Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And Deadpool 2 is a girlfriend, and so she started talking about representation, and, like, they both really liked how the label wasn't making a big deal out of it, right? Like, just act like it's normal, and they're really proud of the way that was handled, and that's how it should be handled, right? We want to normalize. Yeah. And they also showed the audience the deleted Deadpool 2 scene where he traveled through time to kill baby Hitler.
Yep. I heard about that one.
Yeah, I heard about it. So those people got to see it. But there is a description of it in the linked article, which will also be in the show notes for our audio listeners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the last one is mine. So Disney just bought Fox.
Oh, I forgot about that. Thomas, like, did a dance at the bar the other night. He seriously just started dancing around telling me about it.
So here's the thing, this article that I found, it's actually, like, it's coming at the purchase from a kind of pessimistic point of view. It's basically, it's like, the name of the article is Disney can buy Fox, but it can't buy you. So I just thought it was a really interesting kind of, because, you know, up to most people, Disney buying Fox is a good thing. You know, because they're
we get our mutants.
you get mutants. You get maybe some of the shows that Fox canceled. Maybe they'll bring those back. You know, that kind of thing. And maybe they won't, you know, cancel shows that are good after one or two seasons for no reason. Fox. Anyway. But this is coming at it from, like, the perspective that it might not be a good thing, because they can, you know, they can control everything, and there are things that maybe we'll never see again because it's now under the Disney name, and that has a very specific, like, demographic, and it has a very specific message. So things like Alien, things like The Simpsons, King of the Hill, they're all like, you know, are these things going to be, it says, like, specifically in the article, are these things going to be mercy killed? So it's just an interesting wow. take on it. It's very, it's a flip to what you would expect, you know, from a lot of people celebrating the fact this article's like, you know, slow your roll there for a second.
Right.
But, you know, they end the article by, you know, saying that we are the consumers, so our opinions matter. So that even if they buy up everything, we're still the ones that they're having to, you know, cater to.
Yeah.
So the consumers have the power in this particular instance. And I thought it was a super interesting read.
Cool. I'll link that as soon as I can find it. Because right I'm there. A dope.
It's right there in the show notes.
Well, yeah, but the show notes are on one computer, and the stream is on another, and I didn't give myself permission. So here's a funny thing. I didn't apparently give myself permission to post links in our stream, and I got myself banned trying to put news links in.
Well then.
So now I gotta pull up the articles on different computers in order to give our listeners, or our viewers, the show notes.
Nightbot. Cool it. Cool it, Nightbot. It's fine.
Yeah. Nightbot, I rule you. Stop. I am your progenitor. All right.
So we'll get into our topic, which is live-action roleplay, LARP for short. We had one of our listeners interested in asking about it because I've mentioned it several times. Almost every episode, I'll mention something about it because it's a large part of my life right now. It's one of my hobbies, you know, besides crocheting and music. So
you're definitely, I think, our most expert resident host. I mean, Jenna's done an awful lot too. I've only done a little, but I think I can help round this out with, you know, questions. I think starting with what is a LARP for those folks that have never done it or only heard of it?
So live action role play is mostly broken into two camps. You have buffer LARPs, which is where it's a full immersion game where you go out into the woods or into a state park, and you all have full costumes, weapons made out of basically plastic and foam that are safe for you to whack your friends with. And you stay there for, it's either can be a one day or can be a full weekend. You know, Friday night through Sunday morning. And it's like a full whole deal. You get into character and you stay into character for like the whole weekend. You don't break character. And then you have the other kind of camp, which is salon LARPing. And salon LARPing is buffer LARPing minus a lot of restrictions. So you meet usually in somebody's house or, you know, a public area. It's usually only for an evening. You can dress up if you want to, but it's not required. You can just describe what you're supposed to look like. And you just spend that time role-playing instead of, you know, being super acting everything out. Usually salon LARPs are going to have some sort of conflict resolution that involves, you know, cards, where you draw a card and that tells you how it resolves, or it's a free-form LARP where you just talk through it with the other one and say, well, I want this to happen, how would your character react, and so forth and so on.
We used to do, and I believe it would be still characterized as a salon-style live-action role-play with Vampire the Masquerade, where we would go to, like, a goth club, and we would play. And there was a lot of talking through conflict resolution. And in some games, you know, they'll use, like, rock, paper, scissors, if there's, you know, combat resolution. And some use a more elaborate hand signal system.
Yeah. You get stuff like Vampire the Masquerade and, like, Werewolf Apocalypse, which are both of those games were produced by the White Wolf Company. Mm-hmm. I believe they're called Onyx Path now. And you would have, for Werewolf, you would have hand signals to tell people what form you were in. So if you were in, you know, your big rawr war form, you'd have to walk around like this with your hands up in the air, like doing this. And then
like claws.
Yeah. If you were in your like wolf form, you'd walk around like this. It's really kind of interesting and funny how that they make these hand symbols to, you know, act out things you can't normally act out, obviously, because you're not actually a werewolf and you can't change forms.
not gonna sprout fur in the middle of the club. Actually, that would be a terrible idea, even if you could.
Don't become a fuzzy chainsaw of death. Don't do that. But I mostly do boffer LARPing because I find it to be more enjoyable. I will do the occasional salon LARP, but it's hard for me to stay in character because you have so many things that are you know, not game breaking, but they're atmosphere breaking. So it's much easier for me to like go off and just be with my group of LARPer friends and be in full costume and talk a specific way and, oh dear, there's something over there. Here, let me go whack it with a stick until it falls over.
Damn it, real life getting in the way of our games.
Yeah.
It's like the bane of geekdom.
You know, and there's also, you know, tabletops. That also, you know, it counts as live action, sort of, because you're there and you're talking to each other and you're going, but it's different because you can have, you know, bigger time skips. So it's much more narrative. And
so it's so dependent on, like, yeah, I was curious, like, because, I mean, the listener that brought up the topic was kind of bringing up two things, like, you know, Linda was mentioning LARPs, and I want to know more about that, but he also recently joined a D&D game locally that my husband plays in, and he was kind of like, we were out at the bar, and he's like, he was really taken aback by the level of RP that was going on in the D&D game. Because some people just talk through what I'm doing this, blah, 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 and some people get really into character and act it out, and you know, stay there until you're taking a break for, you know, a beer or whatever. And so he's like, how do I create a character background? Like, I have ideas and just looking for guidance on that. And so I thought, yeah, this would be worth talking about. And I've certainly done a lot of that. And, I mean, I even do that with my World of Warcraft characters. Like, I develop in my head. And unless I'm on an RP server, I don't get to act it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I make backgrounds. But you have extensive. You're going for a whole weekend of being a different person.
Yeah, and, you know, for character backgrounds, actually, in the LARPs that I play, not all LARPs ask for this, obviously. And if you're a LARPer in Georgia, you have, like, 800 LARPs to choose from. It's not that many, but there is a lot of LARPs that you can choose from in Georgia. There's at least 30, I think, at like the last count. So, you know, the ones that I play, you actually get extra character points to buy, you know, the stuff. And that's, you know, in the rules and such, you buy skills and you can buy attributes to, you know, do fun things as your character.
That's funny.
It's very similar to D&D. you know.
Yeah.
But you get extra character points for turning in a background so that the plot staff can look at what you've written and be like, oh, here's this character that she wrote in from, you know, her past. We could totally have someone play that character as an NPC to come in and mess with her.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. You have really good showrunners. Or what do you call them in a LARP?
They're either called plot staff or storytellers, so STs.
Storytellers, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is what White Wolf uses. Yeah, the local DM that's running the game I used to be in is very appreciative in that sort of way with RP too. Like, my husband keeps getting experience points for puns. Like, okay, like, you just get a big kick out of it. Or we do something just that changes the direction of the game. And a bunch of us got XP one time. Our characters decided to start a brewery.
Yeah.
He's like, sure. Holy crap. So he had to come up with all this, like, I mean, you don't expect that. It's just like, we go on an adventure, and then we go back to town, and we get our rewards, and then we are going to go on another adventure. And it's like, well, hey, let's buy a place and start a brewery. So then he had to, like, make adventures where we're getting ingredients and competition with other local businesses. But he was like, I never had a team in D&D decide to basically pursue professions.
Yeah.
And he really appreciated that. And we, like, got XP boost for it.
Having run D&D myself, I can tell you that players, and this is true for any role play, live action or otherwise, the players, you may have a thing planned out, but it's like buying a cat tree for your cats, and then they spend the next 4 days playing in the box it came in. That's what it's kind of like when you make the big sweeping thing, and then they're like, let's go over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same thing that happens, because I actually did for about 6 months to six... No, it was almost a full year. I ran a LARP. It was a short, just a one-year campaign. And so, yeah, I watched as our players, we would seed things, and they would either completely ignore them, and we'd have to go hit them with a 2x4.
That's a great term.
Yeah. Or they completely got it incorrect as to what they were supposed to be doing. So it was like, okay, well, let's roll with it.
Yeah, geez, yeah. Always be prepared as a GM, because they're never going to do what you think they're going to do. Have a few paths. Or a plant.
Or a plant.
A charismatic, sneakily behind the scenes, the most charismatic person in the room. Make sure they are driving your story a little bit for you. Because some people can't handle that level of, like, I mean, you just have to... If it's not there, and of course those people are usually making modules, or using modules, you know, or pre-planned. I broke the one, like, live-action full-day LARP I went to. It was at UB, it was a vampire, and I broke it. Like, there was a lot of, like, people could not get into this room where stuff was happening, stuff was going on, and other stuff that was supposed to be happening around it before we got there. And I was playing someone's have some magic, Tremere, and I did a thing with the traits I had chosen, and I was basically able to just walk through the wall in there, and they're like, shit. Well, alright, we're gonna tell you this, but you can't play for a few hours now. But I made some really good friends and hung out.
Yeah.
In the meantime.
Yeah, so I have also done something similar to one of the LARPs that I played a few years ago. I was playing a princess. And so I had gathered enough... a lot of people liked me because I was very sweet. And... you know, I didn't ask a lot of them. I was, because apparently before I started playing, they'd had a couple of women playing princesses from this particular world, because it was a multi-genre kind of, like, all these worlds are coming into this one hub world. And they'd had a couple of not so good players that were trying to boss people around. So when I came in, there were like a couple people really leery of me at first. But then they were like, "Oh, you're not actually going to try and tell us what to do, so we like you." So I basically had a bunch of the of these really high point characters, basically like on retainer. So one of them had an ability that had never been used in play before. And so I was like, I really need you to find this person because my downtimes have said that he's in trouble. And so the guy was like, okay. And he popped his once a year. It was a once a year ability that he could do to find anyone. That's what the text said in the rules. So he did it, and Plot was not expecting him to do that. So they all went, shit, give us an hour. So they had to scramble, get this module put together, and like we all went and were like gung-ho and was like, oh, we gotta go rescue the person. They had to rewrite the rules because of that. Like, literally, if you were gonna use that ability ever again, you had to tell them beforehand. They needed to know before the game that you were gonna use that, because I was just able to be like, please help, and he was like, okay, click, and they were like, what? So, yes, I have broken a game before, but I was just trying to save the guy.
Yeah, the, hey, I've got an idea, and twisting rules, like, is really hard for people who are trying to tell a story.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
But you know what? It makes for great stories. Mm-hmm. For that to happen. One time in Mage the Ascension, I ascended. I had to hand over my character sheet.
Okay, bye!
Oh, I'm an NPC now.
Yeah, that happens. And that's actually something else that happens if you are playing in a Boffer LARP, at least for a very long time. Some games have this and some games don't. Some games require you to retire a character after they hit a certain point level. So I know, I believe in the two that I'm playing right now, that point level is like 400 points. And depending on the game, you get like 10 to 15 points per game. Yeah. The one that only plays 4 times a year is 15 points per game, and the one that plays about 8 times a year is like 10 points per game. So you literally
once so then it's like points you spell on or spend on traits for the next game. Okay.
Yeah, points you spend on skills and such. So after a while, you know, once you've hit that point threshold, your character then retires. And you have to make a new character. That retirement can be, you know, you do a heroic big thing and you go out with a bang. That retirement can be, you know, you walk off into the sunset. It depends on the character, obviously. Whatever plot line that you have gone through should come to, you know, a solid conclusion. But they, I know some games, they have, like, characters that have been playing, the PC has been there since like the beginning of that LARP, and they're just so high points. And you know, this is my personal opinion, I actually think the retirement system is a good one, because then you don't have the one PC that can come in and kill the thing while all the other PCs look on in awe.
It's just right. Yeah. And, I mean, you're adding people all the time, right? So you've got different level characters, or do you level that out at the beginning of each one? Like, I know in D&D we kind of have to do that so one person doesn't get squashed. If you bring someone in later, you start them at a higher level. How do you manage that in LARPs? Because you have more plot lines going on, right?
So yeah. So we usually get new characters every game. In the one that plays for like 8 times a year, you just have a normal point climb, and we just have different levels. So the plot members know, okay, this is going to be a newbie-friendly module, so characters that are like under 100 points can come and not completely get rolled. And then they have other ones that are like, well, if you're a lower point character, it's a little bit more deadly, but you know, you can bring the higher point characters with you, and that's fine. So they try to keep a nice, even, you know, spread of modules. In the one that I play that's 4 times a year, because it only plays, you know, that few. I can speak, I promise I can.
That seldom.
Because it only plays, you know, that seldom 4 times a year, they have a system where the newbies get double XP until they hit 100. So if you're a newbie coming in, you get 30 points per game until you hit 100 XP, and then you get 15 like everybody else. And then they also have the retirement policy where if you have hit, I believe it's that 400 point threshold, okay, you stop earning XP.
Ah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So,
all managed.
You know, different LARP systems will have different policies, and you just kind of have to, you know, read the rules.
How did you first get involved?
Okay, so I know I've told this story on the Glitter Dice podcast a couple times, but I don't remember if I've told it here. So, you know, kind of the normal progression, and I say normal, but this is the one that I'm, you know, probably most people do, is if you get into roleplay, you usually start with, like, tabletop. And then maybe you'll graduate to parlor. And then if you really like parlor, maybe you'll go to a bofferler. I did it backwards. and I started out on a war day, actually, which is the deadliest, quote-unquote, to PCs, the kind of deadliest game that you could come in on is a war day, because they are literally, everything is out to kill you. There's almost no downtime, it's just fighting for the whole day. But I went to see a friend of mine, and she was busily working, and it was like only the first or second time that I had actually met the woman. And she's working away, and she looks at me, and she was like, "You want to be a princess? I can make you a skirt out of that curtain right there." And I was like, "Sorry, what?" And she you know, introduced me to the LARP that she was playing in, and she made me a costume, and I went to the war day. My character survived, and I went on from there.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, and then I survived mostly because I was at the back of the line with my tiny little short sword going, "Oh my god."
yeah.
And then after that, I got to know the community, and I was invited to come be an NPC for a parlor LARP that one of my friends, acquaintances at the time, but he's a friend now, that he was running. It was for Changeling the Lost, and I was playing a true fae, so I got to come in. I went in my princess garb, but I did my makeup like really, I call it, you know, my fake bitch face, because I can do my makeup to make it look like, you know, I'm actually mean. And
see, I have to do the opposite, but that's just life.
Well, I have resting sad face, like, without makeup.
Aww.
So, yeah, it's entertaining. Especially when you go to restaurants by yourself. Because then they're like, "Are you okay?
Are you okay?
And I'm like,
are you okay?
Can I just eat?"
It's much more convenient to have resting bitch face, because mostly people leave you the hell alone.
Yeah. So then after I did the parlor LARP, another one of my acquaintances at the time, who eventually became my husband, invited me to play in his Exalted game, which was a tabletop. So I did it backwards, quote unquote. So that's how I got into it.
Cool. Well, I did find and posted a resource, LARPing.org, LARPING.org, and you can check there different tags, different types of games, different, like, basically it's got a really fairly extensive system, and you know, you, and then find LARPs in your area.
I know that the Georgia LARPs, there is a Facebook page that, like, is kind of the big conglomeration of where we all talk to each other. They had a calendar set up. I tried to find it today while I was, you know, at work, but I couldn't find where they had stashed it. So there is somewhere, if you're in the Georgia area, there is somewhere a calendar that tells you all the games, what weekends they're running on, who's conflicting with whom, all that kind of stuff. So it's a good resource for at least me, because I can be like, all right, oh, I see you're running this weekend. Well, that means all of my friends on this side of town aren't going to be around.
Sounds like a very, very active community in your area.
We do, and it's...
Last time I searched for something here, it was far.
Yeah.
North Carolina's... I don't know. We need more nerds. But if SuperCon was any indication, dang it, I know you're there. Organize some LARPs. I don't have time to organize a LARP, but...
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it.
It's a lot of storage, too, because you have to store the costumes for your NPCs and all the plot hooks and... Some people would call those props. I call them plot hooks because I can't think.
Have you always made your costumes? Or do you ever buy any?
It's a little bit of a mix. If I can make it, I probably will. Or if I've got leftover costuming from a previous LARP, I'll try and use that. But I have purchased some things specifically. Like I've got... This is for a character that I'm not playing yet, but I will be playing in the future. I actually, at Ren Faire this year, I bought a pair of very nice Batwings, which are going to be for this character, which is going to be coming in maybe in a year or so. But I had to go ahead and buy them, A, because they'll use them, and B, they were awesome, and I needed them.
Those are pretty great wings. I like them very much. I used to be in the SCA when I was up north, and the Society for Creative Anachronism, for those of you that don't know, which I eventually would love to do a show about, have a guest from that organization. and I couldn't sew at the time. I'm still not at a sewing level where I can make clothing, but I'll get there eventually. But we were kind enough to kind of be adopted by a household, and they were able to, like, they gave us a lot of hand-me-downs. And I figured that probably happens in LARPs, too, to some extent.
It does. Oh, yeah, there's LARP garage sales all the time where...
Oh, man, I could just shop there for... I wear that shit in public.
But it's like if a LARP has, you know, ended or, you know, gone through their story or whatever, they'll want to, you know, they don't want to hold on to all that stuff because it has to be stored somewhere. So we'll have these sales where the props just go from one LARP to another until they're all, like, until they can't be used anymore. You know, 8,000 layers of paint later.
Right?
Yeah.
I can see.
I think the most extensive thing that I've made, or I guess costume piece that I've made, was for a character that I retired a couple of years ago. And I think I've shown it to you and the Jen. It's based off of the Yaya Han peacock dress.
Yeah.
But it's all made out of purple. So I was doing like a purple peacock. That was an ordeal. I had to get like an actual seamstress to help me, because I was like, this is so complicated, but I want it. So she helped me, and that was. I still have it. I'll probably use it for a character in the future, because that was an ordeal. It's the thing, is like, if you make your costumes, you know, even if you've retired that character, you don't play that character anymore, you're gonna want to use it for something else. Costume parties or Dragon Con or any convention.
Well, and depending on how elaborate. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I played vampire, I would sometimes play, you know, somebody who'd wear a lot of velvet, somebody who'd play a lot of leather, but I also dress like that in real life a lot, so it's just my clothes. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I have combat boots, a leather jacket, I can be a Bruja anytime I want.
Yeah. Like, for the one parlor LARP that I'm playing right now, it's a By Night Studios version of Werewolf, which I'm playing, not a werewolf, but a werebear. Go figure. But I can use a lot of my crocheted stuff that I've made for myself, because she's just, you know, very natural, hippie kind of vibe, and so I just use that, like, rainbow duster that I made myself, and just put on, like, a nice brown dress underneath it, and put that on over top of it, and go around barefoot, and there you go.
Yay!
Yay! So, what else? What other questions should we talk about?
I don't know. I think we've covered pretty well, I mean, what they are, how you plan. Although we didn't maybe dig into how do you create a character. Do you, like, base some of it on your personality or a part of your personality that you might not explore, or try to play someone completely opposite, or look at the rules and see which class grabs you and decide how that personality might develop, so that, you know, you have something to have a mindset going in. I know in the most recent D&D I played a fighter. I'm usually in most games like some kind of magic user, or, you know, there's usually something esoteric or intellectual or, you know, or theological about the characters that I play. And like our friend was saying to my husband, like, you seem to just be playing like a really amplified version of yourself, which happens and might be the easiest entry level way to play. But then if you find you're playing a lot of games and you're always playing the same thing.
Definitely when I was starting out, it was whatever character I was playing was just me ramped up to 11 in certain aspects. And then kind of as I've gone further along and I've been doing this for several years, you know, there are certain things where I'll put the rule set and be like, you know what, I want to try to play a fighter. The first time I attempted to play a big heavy hitter, I realized how out of shape I was. B, you know, it was a lot different experience, because the character I had played in the previous had been a diplomat, been someone who stayed, like, behind the lines and was, you know, talky. And then I got to play someone who was completely different, who was very rough and tumble, and when I went out and hit things with my shovel, because I had a shovel. So, you just, it depends on, I think, what you're comfortable with, how you want to push yourself, and it also depends on, I think, like, where you're or who you're playing with. And what I mean by that is, like, the atmosphere of what game you're playing. So the tabletop that I got involved in, they needed, it was an Exalted game. So we were playing Dragonblooded, which are people that their powers are based off of the elements, and the five element wheel from Asian culture. So they needed an air aspect to kind of round out the group, because they had the other four. So I was like, okay, since they need that, we can play a perfect circle. That's what they're called, the circles in that game. It's a group of them. And so I decided to play the air aspect, and that was, you know, me figuring out how to play that character who fit into the group, but also kind of, you know, how she fit with her powers. And she ended up being, because I was going to play her as this really kind of dour, like, almost kind of sad, like, she has a very, the first time I tried to do a tragic backstory, it's very difficult to do a tragic backstory, because she ended up being this kind of, like, happy, bubbly kind of personality, completely opposite of what I intended, but that was it was a good outlet for me, because I could just be like, yeah, we're gonna go jump off a building now, I'll be fine. So
take into account the setting and the rest of the group whenever you can.
Yeah,
and some people, like I know, they like to write whole backstories. Mm-hmm. And that can help them stay in character.
Yeah, and, you know,
or have someone else write it if you're not good at writing.
Yeah, you can totally get help with that and just be like, I want this to happen. Can you make those words go on the paper?
Yeah. Or steal it from a book. Base it on your favorite fictional character when you're new.
Yeah, I based the fighter type of character was basically based off of Applejack from My Little Pony.
That's funny, because that reminds me, in one of the podcasts I listened to, that very much comes to think of it, the voice she uses is very Applejack. She's playing this kick-ass monk, but she's using this country back sort of accent, you know, and it's really funny.
Yeah.
Well, my fighter, I was trying to challenge myself already with just playing such a different type of class, and then I had her stats, and I was like, okay, she's kind of small, but she's tough, and she's, and I kind of, in my head, Wonder Woman her.
Nice.
Like, whenever I find myself just being me, mm-hmm. I go, okay, it's not a, it's not who she is, not who she is, and I have something to grab onto.
Yeah, there's always ways that you you can, you know, get yourself back into character. If the character has tells or a specific voice, or like mannerisms, and that's what I use.
Catchphrases.
Yeah, catchphrases or.
Catchphrases are a really good thing. That's a good tip. I definitely, in an old V&V game, there were characters that had catchphrases, like, whether it's a gleaming smile, you know, from somebody with charisma. One of them used to, his character name was Strangelove. And he would just, like, hit the Depeche Mode.
Well, even now I can fall into, like, characters that I haven't played for years. Like, my very first one, the princess, is, oh, I just have to talk very prim and proper, and could you please be a dear and go get me some tea? That would be lovely. And, you know, oh, no, actually, you don't have to. I can go get it myself. It, you know, all the way to, you know, the one I'm playing now, which is, she's very laid back, and, you know, oh, it's all right. It's okay, dear. It's okay, darling. Everything's going to be just fine. It's just, you know, that's how I get into it. It's not even accents. It's just mannerisms. Oh no, I think my... Oh, there we go. I was like, my thing froze, but we're okay. Everything's fine, everybody. So, anyway, I think we've covered a
we absolutely have, and it's been, like, almost an hour, so...
Yeah, so we should... So if any of you guys that are watching or listening have LARP experiences or anything else you want to tell us about...
Or more questions that we didn't answer...
Or you can have suggestions for us for our next topic. You can chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at geekgrills. So, Amber, what are you most anticipating right now?
Well, last night, my husband and I went out to dinner with a local couple, and we discovered that there is a pinball museum here in Asheville, which is only like 90 miles away, and we were trying to figure out what we were going to do this week. We want to take the kids and do like an overnight somewhere or a day trip. And so, yeah, that was a no-brainer. and it's like $15, and all the video and pinball machines, you just play. They're all free to play.
That's really cool.
So I was looking at the hours, try to make it there and like be in line when they open, because they only let as many people in as there are games. Sounds like they get real busy, and it is summer and kids are out of school, but around here a lot of people go to the beach, and it's going to be like a Thursday, so I figure we should be okay. So we're totally going to do that. I'm going to pay this tomorrow. I'm going to like try to get a hotel room, and we love Asheville. It is one of the best cities in the world. Well, I mean, that I've been to, but so that'll be nice.
Yeah, I bet I can get my husband to go back to Asheville if I tell him there's a pinball machine.
Pinball museum. Yeah.
Then I can go to Biltmore while he goes there.
Yes, and Biltmore right now has this amazing exhibit. Rob doesn't, I don't think he wants to do Biltmore, but I might find a way to sneak off to that, maybe just in the evening. But there's, what's his name, Coilo? Like, there's this glass blower artist who has this, and it's set up all over the property, and like it looks different during the day than it does at night.
Oh, that's so cool. I have a friend of my mom's is a glass blower. And I actually have two of his pieces. Like, I bought one, and then one of them was given to me as a present. These two just mottled, colored, like, pumpkins, just blown out of glass. They're just gorgeous. I love them so much.
Get more. Chihuly, Chihuly, is the artist.
Ooh.
I'll post the link in the chat so you can take a look. But these are amazing sculptures that are there right now.
That's so cool. And yes, Fitzjiv, glass blowing is dangerous as hell. I can tell you that first for fact, because my mom's friend, his name is Perry, went into great detail about everything that can go wrong. I was like, thanks. I didn't want to know about burning my lips off, but thank you anyway.
I always love to watch the glass blowers when I worked at Disney, and I watch them when I'm, you know, at the Ren Fairs.
And then,
what are you most anticipating?
As for me, I have a LARP in 2 weeks, matter of fact. Garden of Destinies is the 8 games a year LARP that I play, where I get to play my jazz singer, my sassy little jazz singer. That's the LARP where my character is apparently famous now. Hooray, I think. I'm sure that won't come back to bite me in the ass. It'll be fun, and either way, it is plot, so it'll be fun. And then the Dragon Con hype has begun. I have a month left, and I have two costumes to make, one of which I'm crocheting, the other one I have not started on. I am not crocheting that one. I am making it out of regular cloth. But it is not yet even begun. I haven't bought fabric. I haven't gotten a pattern. It's just kind of a dream right now, but I'm hoping I'll get them both done. I already had to tell myself no to the Steven Universe cosplay, because my brain was like, "Hey, look, you could do Pink Diamond," and I said, "Shut up, we haven't even started the second one yet." So that the Pink Diamond make. Or it might be for MomoCon. We'll see.
So seems all cosplayers seem to have this problem. All of you.
Yeah.
So remember.
My camera is frozen again, but go ahead.
Hate it when that happens. So remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on Monday evenings. The next one will be on August 6th. At 5:30 p.m. PST, 8:30 p.m. EST, and it's going to be our 100th episode. So,
what are we going to do?
I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we'll do a retrospective. We've only done that once. But if somebody's got a great idea for something special, let us know. Patreon, we really, really love our patrons. They have been super fantastic. I know it's been a little confusing because we shifted to weekly, and we've bled a little from it as people figure out how to budget that. The bonuses there is you can always set a maximum, so you can just put whatever you were given monthly in and make it a maximum. Or if you just do a per episode pledge, if we don't show up, if we call off, we don't get paid. So good motivation for us. And you get bonus content there, in that the whole live video gets posted first on our Patreon and before the edited, you know, cleaned up podcast version goes out to the rest of the world. So you can, of course, go to www.patreon.com/grills. Thank you, Grill Friends.
Yes. And you can also help us by leaving us reviews on iTunes or your podcast catcher, whatever it is you use. Leaving a review is free, and it helps our ranking. It helps people find us. And you can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and help us spread the word on those two places. So, Amber, where can we find you on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9of12. That's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch, and on YouTube doing the Heresy and Hearsay show. Reverend Barney generally record that show Thursday evenings on my 9of12 Twitch channel.
Cool. You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, and you can find me here on Twitch under the name TrueNew. That's TRUN00B. I do my creative streams here where I make plushies. I'm working on Pokemon right now, up to the Wartortle. I also occasionally stream games. I think I might do one hand clapping, which is it's a singing game actually. So, hear me stretch my vocal cords. You can also for Jen. You can find her at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on twitch.tv/TheJenPlays, and find everything at TheJenSays.com because she owns it. So, thanks for listening, everyone. Good game!
GG!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.